try to find a better way and use my gift of lightning what I do and say. But some days it gets a little bit colder. I feel like I'm a little bit older. Gotta keep on moving if I'm gonna get my way. Wherever I end up, I'm gonna make it feel like home. Cause man, I got to tell you, life's about moving on till you're satisfied, yeah. My life's had twists and turns. Believe me, every now and then it burns. But I'm living in much tougher skin from what I've learned. Cause everything leads up to now. We always work it out somehow. You pay your dues, be patient, things will come around. Wherever I end up, I'm gonna make it feel like home. Cause man, I got to tell you, life's been moving on until you're satisfied, yeah. I wanna speak my mind if that's okay with you. Maybe we could vibe and listen to this groove and just feel good tonight.
Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Lowry, and that was Mr. Lee Andu's song, Just Feel Good, from his first album, Roadless Traveler. That was my favorite back in the day, Just Feel Good. I love that song. And so I open with an old one. We talk about that song a lot, actually, on the podcast, and Lee actually sings a little bit of that song at the end of the podcast, but at the very end of the podcast, though, after we sign off, I will, you'll hear his new single that is just now getting released over in Europe, which is with Stellartronic. You can search Stellartronic and Andu's When I Find My Love. There's an official video on YouTube. It's sick. It's beautiful. We talk about this track. We talk about his road to where he's at now, how he sees music, who influenced him. Some of the new projects he started, how he got to where he's at now. He does a pretty cool thing on how he starts making this music with some of, you know, the globe's greatest electronic DJs. He has crossed over there and doing a lot of merge music. But anyway, I had to start out with that song. Shout out to Daniel McNamara as well. I know you love that song. I love that song. Used to play it back in the day. I talk enough about it on the podcast, but hope you enjoyed that one. But stay tuned to at the end of this podcast for his single that's releasing. He's actually headed over to Germany, Berlin, a couple other places to do some talking, do some performing. But definitely check out that last single. It'll be at the end of this podcast. But this is my friend, Lee Andu's.
There we go.
There he is.
All right, finally.
We did. How are you, man? I usually when we do a Google or a Google Hangout or a virtual podcast, it usually takes a while for the guest to sign on. So I usually get like a 6 to 10 minute length intro.
Right.
You know, the longest Bruce Buffer intro of all time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I talked about you a little bit. You know, I really didn't say much, man. I think me and Steve were more or less just acting goofy than we were doing anything else.
Yeah, a bunch of BS.
That's how you do it.
Man, well, you look good, brother.
I'm trying, man. You know, got to stay in the gym, drink a lot of water.
Dude, you always been that guy, though, dude. I mean, come on. We were downtown. Now, me and Danny could, we had our moments, but we never compete with Lee, though.
Oh, man. The good days. Hey, you know what? I wanted to ask you, what was the name of that club that that you guys used to kind of run or something, right?
Zinc Bar.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. I could not remember that.
Yeah, we had Zinc Bar. We did Sky 60 for a while downtown.
Yeah, it was Zinc. That was the one.
That was the one. God, those days, Lee. Holy shit.
Blur. All a blur, man.
Yeah. If anybody is from downtown Orlando and knows the days of Zinc Bar, when a random name like Carl Cox would pop through on a Tuesday.
Nice, yeah.
Those were the days, man.
I think I saw Charles Barkley in there once or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He frequented downtown a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There were some stars, man, that used to spend a lot of time in our era of the downtown.
Our era.
It's not our era right. anymore, man. At least
no. It's for the young kids, man. We're adults now.
Yeah. Well, some of us.
You know, when we choose to be.
Yeah, right. Yeah, when I choose to be. When I'm in front of my daughter, maybe.
Sure, sure. Makes sense.
But, man, you were always that guy, man. Like, and when I mean that guy, I don't mean it in a negative sense, is you were that guy that was just always chill. You were never a fighter. I never saw anybody have issues with you. Girls loved you, bro. Like, it was ridiculous. It's like, not even fair, you know. But at least you made us cooler to hang out. Oh, I'm missing something. What am I missing? Oh, you need this. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm over here looking like a retard. All right, there we go. Yeah, sorry about the interruption. Go ahead, man.
No, I am. You were talking about the girls, not me.
I remember one night, dude, we went, you were living just downtown Orlando. It wasn't far from where we all used to hang. It was probably one of those after parties we shouldn't have went to. Mm. But you're on the back porch. Lisa Ta was hanging out, you know, the whole little crew. And dude, you started playing that night on the couch, man. And I was hooked, dude. I was hooked after that.
I appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. What was I doing? Playing guitar?
Yeah. You were just playing guitar, talking shit, singing. Well, not I was talking shit. You were singing. You were singing. And I was referenced your, is it your first album? Is Just Feel Good the first album?
No, that's on, I mean, it's on the first one that I would, you know, reference people toward. The stuff before that was really a lot of growth and not something that I wouldn't say proud of, but it's my beginnings and I was really still sort of learning, you know. But Just Feel Good is on a Roadless Traveler, which is the first record I made in LA. So that's, for me, that's sort of the beginning of, like, you know, getting to a different platform and a different level.
Yeah, I love that album. That was my introduction, basically, to Lee, was that album to you. So, I mean, yeah. I'm biased as it gets. And not to mention that album got me laid a lot.
I'm happy for that, you know. I don't want to take full credit, but I'll take partial.
Oh, I had to, man. I had to dress up the accessories, man. I had to play music and I had to cook dinner, man. You know, I had to go all out. But
yeah, so, you know, it was adding to your chivalry.
Now, you know what I didn't, I forgot, actually, I should say, is you're actually from St. Croix, right?
Yeah, St. Croix, U.S. Virgin Islands.
What brought you over here, man? Give me the story, man. Take me back. We ain't talked in fucking a decade, bro.
Yeah. I mean, so I grew up there. My dad's from there. And then Hurricane Hugo, which was when I was just turning 12, Hurricane Hugo came through and demolished the island, like left us homeless. You know, we had a nice size piece of land and a nice size house and like flattened it. So we stayed with my grandparents for a couple months and then my mother was like, nah, we're getting out of here. Cause you know, the entire island was devastated really. Mm-hmm. So what we did was we moved to Atlanta, where my godfather lived. So we had some, you know, some sort of family there. So I went to high school in Atlanta and which really sort of sparked my musical interest because that was like right when all the R&B was coming out of Atlanta. It was like Motown of the South. So you know, I was just always singing and like Boyz II Men was like those were my idols, you know? And Atlanta was really coming up at the time. So I kind of just sort of fell into music that way. And then came to Orlando after college because my sister lived in Orlando. And I also knew that, like, you know, NSYNC, Britney, and all this stuff was coming out of Orlando. So I was like, hey, you know, maybe I'll go down there and try my luck there. I didn't want to be a pop singer ever, but at least I knew there was stuff going on. So I went, that's what brought me to Orlando. And I was there, what, six years. And I think I met you, like, right at the tail end.
Mm, yeah, you were not far from your journey to L.A.,
yeah,
which at the time I remember you talking about, and I was going, man, this dude's a fucking badass, man. Like, I'm just gonna go. This is what I'm gonna do, man. I mean, it was storybook shit that a lot of people dream of doing that they just never get that brave intention to go. And
yeah,
I would have to ask you, how much do you think having to leave home and losing everything had to do with kind of giving you that go for it mentality?
It's a good question. I think it had a lot to do with it. And you know, even when I was growing up in St. Croix, my mother was, she's very much like push me out of the nest, you know? So she, I went to a music camp when I was 10 years old. So left that little island, went to Michigan for 8 weeks at age 10 to a music camp called Interlochen, which is like one of the biggest music camps in the nation. And so I was always, you know, urged to get out and see the world. And so it's definitely, you know, it was never like a hard decision for me. It's just like, all right, now I'm going to do this, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize how much, you know, that parental influence. I like how you quickly jumped, man. And I've noticed, dude, I've interviewed a lot of people. And I noticed those that I asked some similar question like that to, how long they actually stay out of talking about anything negative. I asked you about losing everything. And the first thing your mind could do was go to the one thing that you had through all that. You didn't even talk about how shitty it was.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's you, man, you got to, you know, when I was in Orlando, speaking of that, I was very, I went through a kind of a period of time where I was really jaded about the music industry and like, you know, I know this guy and now he's playing with that person and I know that guy and now he's playing over here and so-and-so just got signed. And I got really jaded about, you know, pop music and like, you know, I thought certain things was like, why is that on the radio? You know, and I was really negative. And it's funny, man. Like I hear younger musicians doing that now, and it's like that energy that you're not only putting out there, but that you're expending. You know, it's like you could be doing so much more, not thinking about that. You know, like for instance, I don't really watch the Grammys, and people are always like, why? And it's just because I don't particularly think that I become a good person when I'm watching the Grammys. You know what I mean? Like, I'll see certain performances and I'm like, really? But I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do that, man. What I want to do is look at everyone as my peers and be like, cool, good for that dude, regardless of what my, you know, gut says about that, because I'm not better than anybody else. And it's that, like, you know, jumping to the other side and like just really making it about positivity, because the negative stuff, man, it holds you back. Really does. Really does. So if you don't like watching, you know, if you don't like performances on the Grammys, don't watch them. And that's where I'm at.
Well, I mean, shoot, the Grammys were down, what, 30,000 something people, you know, this year from being watched normally. So you were.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, they were down tremendous. I almost want to say 300,000 viewers. They were down. I had to check, but they, you know, you weren't the only one. And, you know, I'd ask you, you know, it's so hard, man, because that really does happen, because when you're working so hard and pushing something to the limit and you know you have it and you can feel it and then you see certain things make it, that's very hard for, you know, young artists, young business people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's a difficult thing, man. And it continued when I was here in L.A. I went through this huge depression and I moved to L.A. with I don't know if you'd ever met my girlfriend back in Orlando, but we moved here together. So when that ended, that, you know, like I was shattered. That was like love of my life. So it was a big deal. And I went through this whole depression thing, and the same kind of thing kept happening here where I had friends from Orlando move to LA too, like musicians who I'd come up with. And all of a sudden, like homeboys playing with Justin Timberlake and old girls on tour with so-and-so. And I'm sitting here like, what do I got to show for it? You know? And I came up with these guys. So at a certain point, again, like I had to get out of that darkness, man, and just like find my own way. And that's really sort of brought me to where I'm at now. It's just got, you know, leaving all that behind.
How'd you do that? I mean, we talk about it, but what was your, I don't know, where did you start to do so?
It starts in a big pool of whiskey. That's where it begins.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, you either keep swimming in that or you get out of that, get out of the water, get out of the whiskey.
How did you start that though? How did you start that? I'm done with this. What was the first, you know, we talk about getting away from the negative, but say you're in LA and going through that. What was, you know, mentally, what did you put yourself through behaviorally?
Yeah, I'm actually writing a memoirs. And it starts with this moment. It's, I was in Greece where I've been going for a decade now, every year. And I was in Greece on the island of Corfu. Corfu, Kerkira. And I was on a little, like the ATV, like a four wheeler. And I was just, I was by myself. It was just a trip by myself. And I'm riding down this street, man. And like, you know, I'm in Greece and it's just like the sun shines differently and the air feels different. And there was no one around. Like I'm on this like desolate road. Like I can't see any, you know, human being in sight. And I had this epiphany while I'm riding down this road. And it was that, you know, here I was like with all these jaded feelings, yet I'm in LA, I'm playing big shows, I'm doing all the drugs, all the rock and roll, all the chicks. Like it was all, I was doing all this shit that if you had told me when I was 16 that I'd be in LA and all this stuff, I would have thought I was a famous musician. And that's how the book starts, because it's about the association of words. It's about what, you know, what our perception of success is. And I realized, well, shit, man, I'm successful. This is what I wanted to be doing. Why am I unhappy? And when I came back to LA after that, I started playing shows, not for money, not to bring people out. I started playing shows again, like literally to be on stage, loving what I was doing, loving music, like getting back to, you know, when I was 12 years old and I was singing on stage, you know, in a play. And ever since then, that's what's changed my complete psyche. And you know, and then good things start to happen for you. And that's it. You got to learn that. You got to learn that. You got to go through stuff to learn that, you know?
Yeah. Isn't that amazing how it's almost like the universe knows? Like,
absolutely.
It knows if you're bullshitting or if you're just, you know, envious or if you're fighting or if you're doing it because you love.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's always my advice to the younger cats coming up now is, you know, again, I always hear people like just kind of talking smack on other musicians. It becomes such a competitive sort of world, you know, because everyone knows each other. Just like Orlando in LA, it's the same thing. Everyone knows each other. Everyone, you know, all the musicians end up in the same at the same parties, the same shows, different stuff. And, you know, I always like the minute I hear that negative stuff, man, I'm like, don't you love doing music? Like that should be it. Nothing else. Let it start there.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I think it's easy to forget that, right? I think we start into things that we love and we chase them down. And then all of a sudden we need more, you know, we need more viewers, more listeners, more albums to sell, more.
Right. Right. And they say that, you know, the more successful you get, that's kind of it too. I just think you just got to be, if you're never satisfied ever, you know, like I'm one of these people that something great will happen and I don't really celebrate it. And people are always like, come on, man, let's do some champagne, let's, you know, let's do this. And I'm like, that's not the pinnacle yet, you know. I still, that's just a part here that's great, but I'm still trying to get over here, you know.
Isn't that what they say about the artist? The painting and the song's never good.
That's right.
You can a masterpiece go 18 times platinum or whatever, and it's still like, ah, it was missing something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a song is never done, never complete. Yeah.
What were some of your influencers, man? Like, who moved you when you were young, man? Obviously, your mom had a huge influence in pushing you, but what were you listening to back then, man?
Oh, man. And growing up on St. Croix was, we had one station, like one radio station, really, that played, like, all the, you know, what is it, KCK, some top 40 and all that stuff.
And people complain now when there's like eight stations, they get it. The same.
Yeah, exactly. So I was, you know, I grew up with listening to, and as I say in my book too, like I grew up with, as an American citizen, because it's U.S. territory. Right. So I grew up with U.S. pop culture, but my surroundings was a completely different culture, you know? I think that was really what I don't know, gave me sort of a vast appreciation for a lot of different things, because I didn't grow up in, you know, Idaho or whatever, or Orlando under that umbrella of like domestic United States. Like I'm completely different culture, you know, but still a U.S. citizen. So best of two worlds.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, so you had one radio station. I'm going to assume that Casey Kasem did not influence you.
No, he did not himself. But, you know, Michael, of course. Michael Jackson was amazing and somebody that I feel like influenced, you know, almost everyone out there, and a lot of people don't like to say Michael Jackson for whatever reason, but I'm like, you know, come on.
My daughter and I and my wife had this debate last night on the couch. We sat on the couch and discussed the biggest pop star of all time. And I quickly said, hands down, Michael Jackson.
Hands down.
Now, of course, my daughter goes, no, One Direction.
Of course. Well, that's fair.
Then my wife chimes in and goes, excuse me, gentlemen, but Madonna.
Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to say, if you wanted to split it up and make it, you know, biggest pop singer ever, male and female, I'd say those two. Yeah.
Yeah, we agreed there. I think that's where we ended up agreeing.
Yeah, I don't think you can say one over the other. I mean, well, actually, I think you can. I mean, I would, if it had to be one, I'd say Michael, because you have a much larger catalog of music from his childhood all the way to his death. So that's literally, I mean, it's almost 50 years of one pop star. So I think his influence is definitely.
And even given all the shit he was in or around and still would sell out stadiums and that man could put a glove on and go anywhere and sell out.
Yeah. Yeah. They both had, I think they're both, you know, as visionary as we've ever seen any artist, because they both had so much to do with every bit of their own persona. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't someone like behind them saying, do this, do that. They really had everything to do with it. But yeah, I mean, I'd have to agree with you, man. I think Michael's the biggest pop star ever. And I don't think anyone will ever beat, you know, what he accomplished ever.
Yeah, part of my argument too we were having last night is that I was saying selling albums in 80s, 90s was different than selling albums now, because back then you had to get in the car, drive to the store. If they had your album, usually the only one left was the edited version at Walmart.
That's right.
And then you had to take a risk that you only heard two songs and you bought 22.
That's right. That's right.
And that's so true. And then I thought, now, if I went six times platinum in, say, 95 or in 2015, is it easier because they can just go click, click, and you're downloaded? You know what I mean? So is six times platinum in 95 the same as six times platinum in 2016?
Not at all. You're right. It's way different. And it's, I mean, this, the whole game has changed. But, you know, it's changed in a way that, again, there's so much positive. Like, I'm one of these people that's benefited from the internet and everything you can do as a musician on the internet. And that's actually a talking point that I'm going overseas on Sunday for a promo tour. And like, that's a talking point that we have, because my entire collaboration was like, I met the guy once ever. And that was after we'd finished most of the album. So, and that's all back and forth on the internet. So.
Well, you see, like, a lot of people don't really understand you're collabing over oceans now because of the internet, man.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, again, as long as you have a solid vision between two or three or, you know, whoever's collaborating, it's pretty amazing what you can do. It really is.
Well, where are you headed? Tell me about where you're going to talk, man.
So I'm headed to do a bunch of TV appearances and radio stuff, Austria, Vienna, and then some stuff in Berlin.
Dude, our number two country listeners, as Steve informed me today, is Germany.
Oh, great. Great. Yeah, I'll be over there.
Number two country, man.
That's awesome. Yeah. I've been to Berlin before, but I didn't get to really hang out and do much. So, and I don't think I will this time either. It's like from morning to night, and then we head right back to Vienna. But well,
for our listeners that are in Germany, hello, German listeners, where could they come see you, man? Where are you going to be at out there?
I'll actually be doing an appearance on, it's called ZDF Morgan Magazine, which I think it's like the big morning show there, or for short, it's called MoMA. And I'll be on that next Friday, March 4th, on the morning show as the musical guest. And then I'm doing something called Joyz, which is J-O-I-Z, which is like an internet MTV kind of thing. So I go from the morning show to that to do a performance there. And then I think some radio stuff later that I don't have my schedule yet other than those. I keep asking them for it, and they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to send it to you.
Just go where we tell you.
Exactly, which I'm totally fine. You know, like, hey, just point me in the direction, man.
You remember when you had no one telling you where to go?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I am not complaining.
Yeah, man. So who, I know Michael Jackson was influenced, you know, hey, you're going to have to keep up with me, brother. My ADHD is going to take us all over.
No, let's go. Let's go.
Yeah. So going back, I mean, what's some, maybe an artist a lot of people don't know or that was influential maybe after childhood or on, maybe somebody doesn't know about that, you know, had a lot to do with you?
That's a good question. I wouldn't say that people, I don't have too many that people don't know about. Like Brian McKnight, who's an Orlando guy, was a big influence. There you go. His older brother actually was supposed to play a gig with me, and then the gig fell through.
Oh.
His older brother plays guitar. And I met him just the once. We rehearsed, and then it never happened. And then Sade is like my biggest influence in the world. So.
Man. I have a secret. It's going to take a lot of my man card away.
Nah, come on.
When I was listening to No Ordinary Love, Sade at 12 years old, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I used to play her in my ear when I was down in the Keys lobstering, man, and she'd help me put to sleep, but it was mainly so I couldn't hear my parents yelling. But, but for the most part, man, I'm telling you, that is one person I have not been able to see in concert, man.
I've seen her. I saw her in Tampa, actually. And it's quite amazing, man, to see somebody that commands an audience just through her voice. Because she's not like a, you know, she's not running around performing, you know, like JT or anything. She's just stands on stage. And some of the songs, she literally stands on stage. And there's just this crazy light show behind her. And she's just, and you're just hearing that voice. And I mean, it's
like the chick from The Fifth Element.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I don't know what that blue chick was called in The Fifth Element.
Man, what a great movie. Love that one.
I mean, that was an underrated flick, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's total cult film. And that scene is like unforgettable. right.
Can you hit that note, man? Can you hit that note?
Nah, I don't even want to try. It's too early over here, man. I'm off duty. I'm not trying to hit opera notes.
Now, the last thing you want this dude to sing, I promise you that. Not you, this guy.
Right. You obviously got good taste, man, you know.
Yeah, listen to this guy, Lee, man. He's really good.
See? Good taste. Great taste.
You know, I have this guy. I've been on the podcast two or three times. His name's Tony Jack the Bear Mance. Big sound engineer legend, master sound engineer legend over in Australia. I mean, he's done everybody from AC/DC, Aaliyah, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, nice.
And him and I have gotten really close, man. I love the heck out of that dude. And, you know, he's produced music for a long time, and he's done a bunch of videos. He's got three or four videos up that have went way viral where he's in a studio talking about youngins making music today.
Mm-hmm.
And how a lot of them are coming into the studio trying to make the music around what they think people will like and sell rather than, you know, just making it or trying to make the feel in it itself.
Sure, from their heart, yeah. Yeah, I believe that. And I mean, you hear a lot of that, man. It's like there's so much...
And that's my whole point, bro. I got ADD and went away. The point of what I was saying is, you know, I asked him, is it hard to find good music? And, you know, because of the internet, et cetera, he was saying that there's just a lot of noise out there and that you got to sift through just much more than you used to find those gems.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, I'd agree. It's but at the same time, we're able to do, because we're not back in the time where you get in the car and, you know, you don't know what you're getting. Now we're like, I mean, there's so much information. So you're, you know, finding all kind of crazy stuff. There's this cat named, you ever heard of, what is it? Dornick. D-O-R-N-I-K.
Dornick. No.
Yeah. R&B cat out of London, I think. And that's like somebody I just stumbled across. Dope album. He used to be a background singer for Jesse Ware. I don't know if you know who that is.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that kind of thing, man. It's like so much easier to find those gems just by, you know, via the internet. So it's double-edged, but I think it's way better.
Yeah, I would agree.
Way more positive, you know.
I'm going to have to agree, man, because, you know, a lot of times it was hard to find the new music. And the one thing, you know, when we were talking, my daughter and wife, that same pop argument was, you know, what hasn't changed is where you find new stuff. You know, her friends at school tell her, somebody posts something. You know, for the most part, it's still this word of mouth, cruising something, you find it. And I thought that was strange that with all this music advancement, we still get, who are you listening to from your buddy?
Right. Yeah, no, that's a good point. And that speaks to humanity. you know, and just how it goes, the telephone, you know, always it'll be word of mouth, man. You know, and that's grassroots as it gets.
So the toughest thing over the last 5 to 10 years for you, brother, what's been the hardest thing that you've had to push through, man, give me the dark story, man.
Yeah, it was the breakup for sure. I was a boy. I had to become a man, you know. I think when you had as much pride as I did, and then for the first and the only time in your life, someone walks away from you, it's pretty shattering. You know, that's not what you expect. I'm supposed to break up with you and all this, you know. And it was real quick. And so yeah, that easily sent me into the spiral, into the darkness. and again, you get as dark as you allow yourself to get. But that being said, it was also through that darkness that, you know, so much creativity came for me. I mean, I was writing like a song a day, just, you know, through tears and and whiskey once again. And
seems to be the rock star way.
Yeah. And then my roommate at the time, once, you know, after the breakup, I moved in with a guy from Orlando, actually, Emilio Cueto, who I met in Orlando, who played around town, amazing guitarist. And he had moved out here like a month after me. So then we start living together and he gets the Juliet Lewis gig, Juliet and the Licks. And so so now like even my roommate is like touring and he's a rock star and I'm just sitting at home like writing songs on my guitar, missing my girl, you know. And you know, it's we all know like that stuff, it can get really, really depressing because then, you know, after a breakup, you start assessing everything else about your life and why isn't this happening? And, you know, so I was easily the most, you know, I was at my lowest for a while. And then it just was a crutch. And then, you know, I just refer to that. And like, all I did was talk about that and rely on that as what was pushing the darkness. And eventually you had to get rid of the crutches and know that you can walk and run, you know?
Yeah. And man, you've always kind of did that, bro. I mean, I think maybe I'm going to give you some credit that you pushed yourself through that darkness of the breakup, man. But the way I see it, that's been Lee from the get, like I said, from a small, like you said, a small island to Michigan to I'm out. I'm going to LA to I'm going to Berlin. I mean, you've been this dude, man.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. And, you know, we don't look at ourselves necessarily, you know, that objectively. And but it's true. I have always been very ready to up and go do what it is that makes my soul feel good, you know. And that's that is something that later in life, you know, now that I'm a little bit older, I can sort of reflect on and see and say, oh, that's cool. That is definitely a cool something I like about myself, you know. Yeah. Put it in the pocket.
You should, man. I can't front, man, that it may have been at the time for me, because I went on walkabout for like 2 years after the nightclub business. I just disappeared. And right. I can't tell you that maybe knowing that you just took off randomly like that one day to LA on a dream didn't have anything to do with it subconsciously, man.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Yeah, I hope it did. I hope that was a little piece, you know, and that's what we do, man. And, you know, we inspire each other, you know, that's how we got to look at life.
What inspired you to cross over, man, from the neo soul guy to the electronic, you know, you dabbling in this stuff? Now, I mean, I say dabbling, you're fucking with some of the greats, dude.
Yeah. No, it's, well, you know, there was so many, like electronic music started using soul vocals and just using a lot of vocalists. It's become like EDM, you know, what was techno and ATB and all that stuff back in the day when everyone was on ecstasy. Started to fuse into, you know, a little bit more of the popular stuff, and then deep house came and everyone's using vocals and everything. So what influenced me to go that route actually was all my trips to Greece. I personally believe Greece has some of the best DJs that no one's ever heard of. Like these guys, man, you go into some of these clubs and like the music's incredible, and you say to yourself, what, how come back home, you know, in LA or wherever it be, like you can't go to a club and just sit down and listen to stuff you never heard before, but it's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, everywhere's got to play stuff, you know, and it's kind of an annoying thing, you know, like what are we learning when you're hearing the same thing that was on the radio all day?
Where are we going? Where you're at. Is it going from here?
Yeah. So, but what really influenced me was what I would do is take a flash drive of some of my songs. And I would just boldly go up to any of those DJs while they were DJing. And I was like, hey, man, I'm a soul singer from LA. I just wanted you to throw these on your laptop. You don't got to listen to them now. You know, just throw them on. You have in my contacts on there too. And you know, let me know what you think. That's all. And in Europe, man, these cats are all so much more approachable and open to stuff like that. So I'd say 9 out of 10 times I would do that. No joke, 9 out of 10. I'd go back, finish my drink. By the time I ordered another drink, they'd play one of those songs. I never asked them to. Never. No joke. Every time. Every time. And they were so happy and like grinning and, you know, like just thought it was the coolest thing that this dude from LA rolled up and said, hey, here's some songs. And
I can't picture any big DJ in New York or LA going, okay, buddy.
Never. Never. I just had this conversation last night with a buddy. I was at the Viper Room and we just talked about that last night. I was like, in the US, never. that thing would be on the highway on the way home.
I'd be in the middle of the club floor, bro.
Right. So
try to get close to the DJ, he'd call security, he'd say, this guy's fucking with me. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So that was the influence, because when I realized how open everyone was to hearing my stuff, and then on top of that, playing it. Then I came back to LA with like a fuse lit under me, and I was like, all right, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do a mixtape over like more electronic beats, and I'm gonna start sending that out to just any email I can find for like an artist that I like or I think is a cool producer or whatever. I started doing that, and after the first mixtape, I think I had 7 songs on it, and I sent to all the guys that I sang over their beats, and I got 5 out of 7 return responses from those guys. Yeah. Just saying, oh, that was cool. You know, nice. Let's be in touch. Yeah, maybe let's work together. And then Parav Stelar, who is who I'm going over there to work, you know, who I'm collaborating with now and why I'm going on this tour. He is the one that got back to me and was like, yo, this is amazing. Want to be on my album? And that's where that's 5 years ago. And so now that's all come to fruition. Now we're making a collaborative album together instead of me just being a feature.
Wow, man. Dude, yeah. That is living a fucking cognitive rampage, baby. That is going, I'm taking a chance. You were willing to question your own musical style.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, and I love electronic music. It's not even like I, you know, was trying to like...
You were hanging out in Zinc Bar with us, man.
There you go. Exactly. I've always loved electronic music, and it was just the perfect marriage for me. And you know, to have these guys just hitting me back on emails. And that's another thing. It was an angle, and it was like a portal, because you can find a pretty legit email for a lot of big European DJs. Again, not the case in the U.S. You can't find an email for anybody who's got, you know, who's pretty established.
It's like you see this like ego bullshit, closed source shit here. And then the rest of the world, meanwhile, is open source. Hell yeah, I'll play your shit on a Friday night mid fucking peak.
Exactly. And I think that's, you know, that was an epiphany of itself. You know, I realized that and I said, you know, maybe this is my angle. And it was 5 years ago. I mean, that was my intention. You know, 5 years ago, I said, this is what I'm going to do. I wrote Morgan Page's manager, who now hits me up and he's like, hey, you got some vocals for Andy Caldwell, you know, who he was managing. And it's just a matter of like, not trying to sell yourself in the email. That was another thing I learned, was I wasn't sending this email out with a 2-page long email. It was like, hey, this is my stuff. Really dig your stuff. Maybe we can work together. And I kept it real short. And the most important line that I always put in all of them was, in the age of social networking, just thought I'd reach out and you know, see if perhaps we could do something in the future. And I'd keep it real short and then let the track, whatever I attached, speak for itself. And that's what's worked for me, man.
I think it's genius. I mean, and... I'm so full of it, man. It's like I'm watching you and I can see how this all took place, man. And deciding, like, I'm going to go back to most artists, one, aren't going to question their own music style. Mm-hmm. They're not willing to do that and question their own concrete or prideful beliefs about what they should be playing.
Sure, sure.
But it seems like the collab almost, not the collab, but the doing this together with electronic almost seems to match your lifestyle, as it's took a chance, went for it. I mean, all of that matches up to the personality that I've learned more from you today and how that happened, dude. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
That's almost like it's meant to be or something, man.
Yeah. You got to take a chance. How could you not? You know, how could you not? And what you're saying is like, yeah, if you listen to me at 19, when I first, my first recordings to now, it's a completely different artist and it should be, you know, I wasn't one of these guys that had it all at 19 or 22 or 25. You know, really, it took a long time for me. And I've seen a lot of artists here, like young cat. I've seen like a 16-year-old kid come play a bar. And I'm like, damn, I didn't sound that good at 16. Like, I'm amazed, you know, because some people have it, like Michael at a young age. You know what I mean? Some people have this thing at a young age. Others got to work and work and work and work. And I'm one of those people, and I'm not, you know, it's, I think when you realize that, you know, that you're, you know, you're not the greatest thing on earth.
Well, a humble every second place.
Yeah, you gotta have that, man, because I see the opposite too. I see the divas where I'm like, you shouldn't be a diva. What are you, you know, what have you done? And you gotta find that like humility within yourself somewhere to know that you can get better, you know? Because I think a lot of these kids coming out now, like they just, and I get it. I mean, when you're younger, it's, yeah, you think your shit doesn't stink. You know, I get it. But
all they need to do is somebody will find them, hear them, and then they'll just turn them to a star.
Right, and that doesn't even happen anymore. It doesn't. Right. It really doesn't. Like there are no A&Rs. There's no one out at the clubs looking for the next great talent. I mean, it's all American Idol, The Voice, and then. Basically somebody's cousin or niece who's already a big star, and that's it. You know, I mean, it's very hard to get on. So you got to find other angles, but that's what I'm telling telling musicians, like there are so many other angles. You have everything at your disposal here with the internet. So.
Yeah. I think that's what you're showing that, man, to be able to reach out to other cultures, cross barriers with music. I mean, that's what music and culture is doing anyways, bringing that together. And I think that's encouraging because in our day, I think the downtown era, there was kind of the end of the record label plucking someone off of a stage and making them millions.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't exist anymore.
No, really, smart. They go spend all your own money, get a following, make your own shit. And if it works, then we'll sign you and get all the big money.
Exactly. You have to have a nucleus in place. And you got to be. That was another thing I realized about myself. I'm not, I mean, I may be marketable to a degree, but I'm not a pop singer. And like, you know, when you got these record labels losing so much money with, you know, the way the internet has changed music, I completely understand. Like I wouldn't, as an exec, I wouldn't take a chance on me being I'm not Jason Derulo. I don't dance and I'm not Usher or Neo. I'm not those guys, you know, I understand why that's who they sign, you know, why they go that route. I was on the table with Capitol Records since I've been to LA, and they signed another kid instead of me, who his record never even came out, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was another thing, like they shelve a lot of artists out here. They'll sign you. Now your hands are tied and you're not free to do a whole lot. And then you never come out. And that's not the musical life I want. So I truly am like, the days of wanting a record deal are so over for me. I mean, I made my own way. Like, this is just me. I have control, you know, and I'm a control freak. So I need that.
Well, I can't imagine any artist really want. I can imagine a few that would sell out. But I mean, I can see why you wouldn't want to have the deal. They control you. They can say, hey, we'll put you out in 5 years after this one. I mean, you essentially lose the freedom.
Yeah, yeah, not after doing it grassroots as long as I've been doing it. It's just, I would struggle you know, I'd feel like Prince, right? Slave on my cheek. You know, I really would. I just, you know, and that's the beauty of this project that I'm in now is Parab Stelar, Marcus is his real name. He, you know, the video we did together, like I shot it here in my house, sent him that footage. He diced it all up and then added all the effects. Like we're doing it together, just two guys, you know, and this is a huge project that we're putting out in Europe. And it's just two guys like being creative on two ends, two different sides of the world.
Oh man, that to me is the new age that we're in, man. That's beautiful. Even making music like that, that's all of that shit's a cognitive rampage, man.
Yeah. That's like the talking point we're going with over there is like, it's a new, not new. It's sort of the future of music collaboration, you know?
Yeah. So I would say, where do you see music going in the future? Let's say the next 5-10 years. I mean, you say this collaboration is the future. I mean, you expand on that a little bit more.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot more of that. I mean, what is it? Who are the guys that just did the Justin Bieber song, Diplo and Skrillex?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was a huge, I think that was like one of the biggest hits of the year last year. And it was the same thing. That was, I think they met at an award show or something, and Bieber said he had this vocal, this a cappella. Gave it to him. I think they said something. I saw it on Charlie Rose. I think they met up in like a hotel room, played the vocal, started playing around with it, and then it became this song. And I think a lot of it is just going to be that sort of like, hey man, I met so and so producer over here at this party, told him this, sent him an email the next day, and you know, 6 months later, a year later, this is nominated for a Grammy. You know, it's so much easier, man. To do this, these things, you don't have, you know, and everybody's got their tour schedules. Everyone's all over the place, and you know, now it's easy to, yeah. And they're taking their laptop, like a small production, like an M-Box or something, and they can do work on the road. So yeah, I mean, that's to me the future of music,
and the future of Andews, man.
Hey, you know, I don't really, I'm not a guy that looks into the future, to be honest. I'm such a in the moment kind of guy, man. Like right now, what's ahead of me is this tour. And I'm like, let's get through that, meet, network, you know, I know myself. I know that I'm an outgoing guy. So I'll meet some people and make some connections and get back to LA. And I might be doing a song with them at Coachella because they're playing Coachella.
Okay.
So we're working on whether that's going to happen or not. And that's it. That's as far as I look down the road, a couple of months, man. I'm not one of those guys that looks too far into the future.
Stay in the now.
Yeah. There's just, cause I don't know, you can plan, but it almost always works out differently. So
that's true, man. That is so true, man. You can always make a lot of plans and then you wind up going, how the fuck?
Exactly.
Yeah, how did, like, I'm sitting here doing a podcast. Like, I do that once in a while. I look up and I'm like, how the fuck did I get here?
Yeah, and that's awesome. And congrats to you, man, on to flip it for a second. You know, it's great to see you doing this and having an impact and doing good things that you love to do. You know, it's awesome, man.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. I think I just realized I talk a lot. And I like to learn from people. I think people are probably other than maybe nature, are one of the coolest things to observe and break down and learn from, you know?
Sure.
I mean, that's what this whole thing really is about for me, man. It's just, you know, declaring I know nothing. Teach me everything about your life, your philosophies, what pushed you, what drives you. Tell me your experience. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I want to like, I feel like I got to live a little bit of Lee Andu's life to date. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. And it's cool to talk about it, you know, because it's not, I mean, I've been writing about it, but talking, I guess I'm going to be doing a lot more talking about it now, but I'm not used to that. You know, I'm used to, I guess, just sort of leaving it hidden in the art or literally in the art.
Yeah. Now you do. Now you, fuck, why'd that go left field? You painted and shit too, didn't you?
No.
Am I wrong? I have way too many drugs back then.
Man, I'm terrible at, there's two things in life I'd like to be better at that I'm horrible at, and that's drawing and shooting pool. terrible, terrible pool player. Awful.
Yeah.
Like girls, you know, I'll be at a place with pool table and, you know, chicks like, yeah, let's play some pool. And I'm like, oh man, she's going to beat me. And it always does. I mean, this is a horrible game for me.
Stop telling your moves, Lee. Stop telling your moves, man.
Yeah, you know, what can you do, man? You can't do it all, man.
Yeah, right, right. That's what you tell them, right? You're like, look, honey, I can't play pool, but listen to my voice.
That's right. I'm like, come over here, show me exactly how to do it.
And you whisper a little soft singing something. Dude, if I could sing like you, I wouldn't fucking talk. I'd just have a singing pocket. I would. No, I'd just be like,
trust me, that'll get old. Trust me.
No, man, if I could.
I used to be singing in college all the time and like in the halls, and like sometimes just people open the door like, please, just, it's cool, man, but please stop.
I still do that now. I sing all over the place.
Yeah.
But I would, dude. I swear, I'd just have a podcast where I'd be like, how are you, Lee?
There you go.
Yeah, dude, it's terrible.
You know, just keep that Sade, man, in the background and just try to emulate her voice.
Yeah, right. Oh my God. Yeah, maybe an angel.
As long as it sounds like that in your mind, you are good.
That's what I keep telling my wife. I do. No, man. I know you gotta run, man. It's been about an hour, right?
Yeah, it's 1:30. I do have to run. I wish I didn't, man. I'd love to stay and talk more, you know. Have me back one day, man. We'll do it again.
This microphone is your microphone, brother. So anytime you want to come promote anything or whatever, this is open to you, man. So
that's great. I appreciate that. Really, really do.
Put all the love out there, man. Give you some love. Give the Twitter. Where do they find your album? The whole nine, man. Give the PR media rundown.
Oh, man. Another thing I'm not so great at.
Or do you have PR people for this?
Yeah, yeah. I don't really, because this is such a new project, we don't really even have a whole lot going on yet. Like, this is...
Do you have a website?
Single... No. They have a website up, but there's nothing on it. So to give it out is pointless. But I'll say what it is. It's Stellartronic and Dues. So it's Stellartronic, is S-T-E-L-A-R, Tronic, all one word, and Andews.
And they can buy all your other stuff on iTunes, right?
Yeah, I'm on iTunes. And then my mixtapes are at andews.bandcamp.com. So that's a good place to find stuff that, you know, my most recent, you know, the last 5 years has been that. So andews.bandcamp.com. And then Stellartronic and Andews is the big new project that we're throwing out there in Europe. And we'll see what it does there and then perhaps bring it to the U.S. I don't know. We'll see.
I would love to premiere any of that stuff, man. Any music or any of the stuff you guys put together, man. Heck, you guys want to make a opening music for my show, dude? I'll use it for this.
Oh, awesome, man! I will let them know for sure. And the single is called "When I Find My Love," and that's on YouTube and that's on the radio in Europe now. And it's that we have released. That's also on iTunes, actually. Just the single "When I Find My Love," Stellartronic and Andews.
Yeah, y'all better look that up. And I'm telling you right now, download the whole album, buy the whole thing, Just Feel Good. I'm telling you.
Yeah, yeah. That album's called Roadless Traveler, but Just Feel Good is the first song. Yeah.
Well, that's because that's how you open up the song, man. Every time I would play, I hit play on that first song. Come on, man. Give me a little bit from that song.
Just feel good tonight. That's it. That's it. I'm out of here.
Oh, dude, I love that shit, dude. Thank you. The rest. Oh, man. You got to buy the rest, fuckers.
Yeah, there you go. Just tease.
Hey, man, you have a safe trip over in Berlin, man. Shout out to everyone, our listeners in Germany and Berlin, about to receive the mighty, mighty Lee Andews over there, man. Treat him well. Dude, thank you again. Hope to have you back. Travel safe, dude. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me, man. Really appreciate it. Great catching up with you. I'm glad to see you doing well. And let's do it again soon, for sure.
Yeah, I'll be out now. Oh, I will be in L.A. in April. And in August, maybe we'll catch up.
Awesome, man. I might be playing a big show with these guys in April 15th. So let me know when you're here.
Cool, man.
Make sure that you are taken care of.
VIP back in the day.
Exactly.
Oh, man. I love you, dude. Thanks again. Travel
safe. Catch you, man. Yeah, appreciate it. You guys have a good one.
One love.
Cheers.
I love it. As you heard the podcast cut off a little bit, I was saying, man, I love that dude. And as promised, here is his brand new single with Stellartronic and Andews, When I Find My Love.
See, all my life I've been told, stay away from trouble, it's a lonely road. So I went my way across the sea, but it seemed like trouble kept finding me. Oh, yeah, it seemed like trouble kept finding me. Oh, someone to save me, make me fall in love again, and maybe I could just let go and let it take me. Been away too long, now I'm moving on, 'cause I can't wait. I cannot wait till I meet the one I want. Tired of running around till it's long enough. Kind of woman that makes me want to trust. When I find my love, I can't wait. I cannot wait till I meet the one I want. I'm tired of running around till I'm falling in love. Kind of woman that makes me fall in trust. Just let go and let it take me. Been away too long, now I'm moving on, 'cause I can't wait.
I can't wait. Don't wanna wait no more.
I can't wait.
Oh,
I can't wait.
Can't wait no more.
I can't wait, 'cause I can't wait. I cannot wait till I meet the one.
Just let go and let it take me.
Been away too long, now I'm moving on, 'cause